From the heart of the Forest City, focusing on the biggest stories in London, this is the Craig Needles Podcast. Now here's your host, Craig Needles.
It's the Craig Needles Podcast at ClassicRock981.com, LondonNewsToday.ca, wherever you get your podcast, you can find us there too. The Craig Needles Podcast, of course, is powered by our friends over at the Covent Garden Market and at downtown London. I want to talk transit today. I want to talk housing today. And to do that, Councillor Sam Trossel, who's the Ward 6 Councillor, has joined us to have that conversation here in the studio today. Councillor, hello. Thank you for doing this.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
All right. So first, let's talk about what's going on in the West End, because that's well I want to talk South End stuff in a minute, but let's talk West End first, because we talked about it a little bit on the Friday roundtable this past week, where we discussed, all right, so we have developers that want to build big buildings and we want to use the transit village designation in the West End of the city, despite the fact that the transit plans that were in place for the West End of the city wound up being voted down by council, which, whether you like that decision or whether you hate that decision, that's the decision that we've made. So where do you stand on the idea of having more people living along Wonderland Road in an area where there's already a lot of folks living and sort of having really intense residential development in that spot?
My objection is not to having intensification, indeed massive intensification along Wonderland and Oxford. My objection is not having the infrastructure keep up with it, particularly mm-hmm. the transit and traffic infrastructure. So the reason why I'm not in favor of the particular development that's coming to City Council on the 23rd is because there has not been an area-wide traffic study, and I think, given all of the proposed development in this area, that has to happen first.
And you don't have to be a traffic planner to drive out in that end of the city a lot of times of the day and realize, okay, we've got an issue here. I know some people were talking about widening Wonderland Road as one of the solutions. That is not how we should do this. There's got to be another way. So what would you like to see out there in order to make it so there is enough transit infrastructure in your definition?
Well, other than turning the clock back to that vote in the last council where they voted 8-7 not to proceed with the western prong of the BRT, I think that we need, for now, massive service improvements. But beyond that, it needs to be at a higher order, and that Oxford corridor really deserves to have a BRT or a BRT type mm-hmm. of situation. And at this point, it needs to go beyond Wonderland, because the city's grown, and there needs to be a transit hub in the Oxford Wonderland vicinity, and there needs to be higher order transit that will support the notion of a transit hub of mm-hmm. a transit village. A lot of these applications are seeking density increases, height increases, premised on the notion that they're in a transit village. And I frankly think it's a little disingenuous to be giving them density increases and height increases on a massive scale without first having that transit there.
Yeah, and I get that the trouble here that is we badly need housing. Yes. And the housing's got to go somewhere. And what I tweeted about this the other day is I think we might be deciding whether the traffic nightmare is from people who live along Wonderland Road or people who are coming in from Lucan to come to London to work here or do whatever else here. Because if we don't develop along Wonderland Road, you know, developers might go to the west of the city, go Lucan, Ilderton, wherever it is. So there's that, those that are competing parts of this as well. So how do you balance the need for housing and the need for transit when you're making these decisions?
That's a really good policy question that council is going to have to make. And I think the way you do it is you look at each individual application and you ask a couple of questions about it. Is this appropriate infill? It's infill. Yes, it's mm-hmm. infill. But is it appropriate infill? Is it situated on a property that allows the residents to be able to go outside and enjoy some outdoor amenities, or is it being plopped down on cement in a strip mall? So if you make a comparison between the East Sam development, The one that backs into Cherry Hill, which, by the way, has not yet been scheduled for a PEC, mm-hmm. public participation meeting. When you compare that with all of the open space around those buildings and the really some exceptional planning that's been done in terms of open space and integrating it with Mud Creek, and I'm not speaking in favor of that application. I'm just saying there are many, many good things about it.
Yeah.
When you compare that to the 735 Wonderland Swiss Chalet 25-story building, and similarly the ones at 350 Oxford, the Twin Towers in back of Nash Jewelers, they're very, very different in the types of amenities that people in those buildings are going to be able to enjoy. So yes, we need infill, but the fact that we need infill doesn't mean we automatically approve each and every project that comes along, and it has to fit into a larger piece.
They'll have a Costco next door.
They will, and they'll also have an ambulance service.
Yeah, that'll be nice and close. No, I get that. I think that there does need to be some sort of parsing for some of these objections. As far as, like, sometimes it's very much just NIMBYism stuff, and I have zero time for that. Sometimes, though, hey, do we have the transit infrastructure in order to support getting, how many units are we talking about at Wonderland here? It's a few dozen at the very least. It's a large building. Do we have the transit infrastructure for people who may not want to own a car or may not be able to own a car to get where they need to be going? Or even if they're going downtown to be able to get there a couple of days a week, while getting on the bus or finding some sort of other way to get to and from work without being in their own car and being sort of part of the traffic situation?
I don't think we do.
Right.
And that
to me is a reasonable conversation to be having about a development like this one.
And by the way, 735 Wonderland is 219 units, going to be 1 and 2 bedrooms, 125-story tower. 530 Oxford Street is 408
right.
units, which is 686 people. I couldn't even count the aggregate for 323 mm-hmm. Oxford because it's so many.
Right.
Recently, we had 359 Wellington is 250 units. That's a different neighborhood. And the White Oaks Mall in Westdale is 32 plus 30 stories. And I think that you have to look at each individual infill application and ask some questions. Because in each case, they're asking for official plan amendments mm-hmm. To go beyond what's allowed in the official plan designation right now. And they're certainly asking for zoning amendments to go beyond what's allowable
sure.
right now. And those have to be justified. Those can't just be given automatically.
So how do you feel about those South End ones you were just talking about? So the idea of replacing the White Oaks Mall parking garage with housing sounds great to me. And you were talking about the transit infrastructure. That's going to exist at White Oaks Mall.
It's going to be right at the hub.
Right. So what do you think of that development?
I do not have an issue with that.
Yeah.
I think that's exactly the kind of infill. I totally agree with Councillor Pelosa on that. And the fact that we are building a higher order transit down there, and there's going to be a hub. It's connected to St. Thomas now with the new 3. It's an example of where you want to put the infill.
Yeah, and that to me is perfect. And again, the White Oaks Mall parking garage. A, I know people in the neighborhood hate it; they think it's an eyesore. And B, it only gets used three Saturdays before Christmas are the only times when anyone's actually parking in the garage. The rest of the time, the mall's not busy enough to justify having it there. So there's a lot of reasons why it'd be a more effective use of the space, in my estimation.
There's also planning signs up on Richmond for the Masonville Mall,
yeah.
And I believe that's been stalled. I have not mm-hmm. seen an application for that yet. And of course, we don't have the north prong of the BRT, but at the very least, we do have that very, very viable and effective transit hub at that corner, Fanshawe Park and Richmond.
Right. Let's talk about how you vision transit progressing here in the city and what you would like to see, because the north leg of the BRT, as an example, that would cut right through the center of your ward, Ward 6. And I understood why council said no to that, just as someone who works right next to the Piccadilly train tracks and, you know, there were the conversations about Western, all that stuff. You would have had conflict on that if you're on council at the time. But now, how do you feel about where we should be going transit-wise in the north end of the city and the west end of the city? What would you like to see there?
When I compare the intensity and the traffic and the foot traffic and the commerce on the Richmond side of the campus which is really a quiet, sleepy little back end compared to the Western Roadside.
I agree.
I really think that the Western Roadside is much more suitable for a higher order transit. And
I agree entirely.
Okay, you could go down Warncliffe, and I know that there's some problems in terms of getting to Oxford, but that's an engineering problem that can be solved. And frankly, if the university needs to cooperate.
I couldn't agree more.
And you know, I was on the board of governors, so I was a little hamstrung in terms of my ability to talk about that. I'm no longer even employed by the university, so my conflicts are gone. And I think the university is going to have to get on board the next iteration of rapid transit in the north, or, you know, it could be worked around the university.
Yeah, and that's the interesting part of it to me, is I think that in a perfect world, it goes through campus.
Yes.
Or at the very least, gets like there's like a stop somewhere on campus or whatever. But if the university is going to be difficult about that, as they have been in the past, like, and you don't work there anymore, maybe, I don't know how much you want to say about this, they have not exactly been cooperative partners all the time with the City of London over the years, as Western University, I think is fair to say, right?
It's fair to say,
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I think I'm being very nice about it that way. It would be nice to have them on, pardon the pun, on board with this, and something that doesn't turn into a mess if we want to have a conversation about getting transit near that area. I think the Western Road idea, as opposed to Richmond, makes all the sense in the world, and I think that's the way it should go, too.
And then it goes up Western Road, it connects with Richmond, and then it's on its way to Masonville.
Exactly. And you connect it there, as opposed to connecting it to the university at Richmond.
Which isn't to say we don't always push for transit improvements going down Richmond.
Of course. Yeah. But you're right that if you just think about even where the satellite... The satellite institutions are, you know, Western Road is a spot where you're going to want the campus to be, where you want the transit to be, if you're talking about Kings, if you're talking, you know what I mean? Like, that just makes more sense.
Exactly. And also, shuttles are important. I mean, Kings Brescia run a really outstanding shuttle service that does take people through campus, and it's supported by Kings and Brescia, and a lot of Western students and faculty use that. I think the West prong of the BRT, though, is a much easier discussion.
Mm-hmm. Where should that go? What do you think?
Well, I think wherever it starts, it needs to go down Oxford, and it needs to stay on Oxford for quite a while, because Oxford is just impossible right now.
It's bad.
And I'm not going to second guess whether it should come up Riverside or where on Warncliffe. I'll leave that to the engineers. But what I do know is the situation on Oxford is just so impossible, and people will do whatever they can, quite rationally, to avoid the Oxford trip, which is why I'm so concerned about people cutting through Cherry Hill once Westfield and Beaverbrook are opened up. That's just going to be a drive-through for people that want to, quite reasonably, want to avoid Oxford.
Yeah, there's that too. And if Oxford winds up being something with more intensified transit along it, that maybe you solve some of that problem if there are people who are getting on the bus. And there's lots of things in Oxford that people are going to want to go to. There's the mall, obviously, and not too far from the mall is the mosque. Also, high traffic area that people are going to want to go to. You know what I mean? Like, it's
very difficult for people that go to the mosque during services to get out on Oxford. And this is something that's been pointed out. There is a lot of dense housing. There's a senior center. There's some hospitals. There are a lot of medical facilities. Oxford is a very, very well utilized main street, and it just needs higher order transit. And so does Warncliffe, but. Certainly, Oxford, it also needs a bicycle path, because it's very, very perilous to try to get through that area on a cycle.
Yeah, certainly. So I would love to, and you can tell me if there's been any conversation about this and about something in the Northwest End, so like something that, you know, runs up Warncliffe, Western Road, whatever it is. I think that there would be a lot of your colleagues that would be interested in that, at least revisiting that and looking at that. Has there been a conversation about that at City Hall, or has there been a conversation about that with city staff or whatever it is that you've seen?
Now, I'm not on the PEC, so I have to say I might not be privy to everything that goes on, but I'd have to say in the main, no. Now, I've been asking more and more questions about this as I have development applications pending in my ward, but I don't think we've given the attention to this part of the city that we have the east side and downtown and the south side, because that's where we approved the BRT. Mm-hmm. At the planning committee last week, I specifically asked about whether there is an area plan in the works for this West Side area? Is there at least a targeted traffic study, cumulative modeling? The answer was no, because planning staff only has so many resources, and after the West prong of the BRT was defeated, they quite reasonably put their planning resources into looking at the places where it was coming, because
sure.
a lot of planning is needed. And I think the people who are out on the east side and the people who are down the Wellington corridor, I know it's inconvenient, but they're going to benefit from this in the long run, and it's really going to create the opportunity to intensify the housing. And there's no reason why we couldn't be doing that in these other areas, but we need higher order transit.
Yeah, I definitely agree that we need higher order transit. And now, you know where I was on the weekend, and I've got family here, and I talk about this on the podcast from time to time. I was in Kitchener-Waterloo. Well, I was at a wedding in Cambridge, but I stayed with my father-in-law in Waterloo. And you know what I saw? I saw the train. And I saw all the cranes in the sky that are not far from the train that they've got. So obviously, I think that we're not doing train anytime soon in London. But I think it shows you that if you have transit, and by the way, the trains I saw pass by, they were full. If you have that higher order transit, you can have the development that comes along with it very quickly.
When you know that there's going to be a train or a bus every 10, 15 minutes, as opposed to every 30, 45 minutes, you're more likely to just go out there and wait for the bus, and you're not going to worry about the schedule so much, and you will be taking more transit trips. Mm-hmm. Now that we've completed the mode share numbers for the mobility master plan, it's even more urgent that we get working on building the infrastructure that's going to support that.
So Stephanie Marentette, who's the chair of London Transit Commission, she was sitting in the exact same chair that you're sitting in. I think it was 2 weeks ago I had Stephanie on the podcast. And I asked her, hey, do we have enough transit infrastructure as far as buses, drivers, and the like go to do what the city wants to do with bus rapid transit right now? And she did not seem confident that was the case. How do you feel about that?
Look at the extreme measures that they had to go through to get the funding that they got, which is not even enough. And I agree with her.
Mm-hmm. So
I want to see more. But it's not just a question of adding a few more stops along the way or making the bus bigger or adding another bus. It has to be a qualitative difference, which is why we talk about a higher order. Mm-hmm. So yes, we can have express buses. There are all sorts of things that can be done in the interim, but we can't go cheap. And we have to realize that if we want to have the kind of housing development that we want to have along that corridor, we have to support it.
Do we think that the current provincial government, and let's be honest here, I don't think you have to be a poll reading genius to believe that the next federal government is probably going to be one led by Pierre Poilievre. Are they going to be as on board, again, pardon that pun, I keep saying it, for the types of transit investment that previous iterations of provincial and federal governments have made, do you think?
I have to start by saying I hope so. Mm-hmm. And I know that our civic administration and mayor and the AMO and the FMC, everybody is pushing
yep.
for these types of investments. And we just have to keep pushing for these types of investments. But I'm skeptical. And I think that what we had was really good. And I think turning that down was a generational mistake. But yeah, I hope we get the opportunity to see that money again.
You said, you know, what generational mistake. At the same time, though, you mentioned that, hey, wouldn't it be better if this was on Western Road? So maybe if we wind up getting something that goes along Western Road as opposed to Richmond, maybe it turns out to be okay in the long term?
In the long term, I'm talking about Oxford, not going down.
Fair enough.
Oxford was,
fair enough.
Was yeah. I think, the worst decision of the last council.
Okay. Yeah, that's fair.
And I was very critical of
yeah,
a lot
I,
of things.
I recall. That's fair. I think the West one and the North one were different conversations, and I can understand parsing them and feeling one way about one and one way about the other is what I would say. And I did, in fact. I said on this podcast when I was doing the radio show that I would have probably voted no on the North one and yes on the West. But either way, this is the situation we're in now. So I think there does need to be another refreshed and new conversation about what is transit in the Northwest end of the City of London look like.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Last thing, Sam, before we go here, we talked about what's going on in the South End. We're seeing some intensification there and a lot of units coming in there, which is great. In the West End, great. Where else do we want to see more in the East End? Because we did do the transit deal there. Like, where else do you think that there are good spots for intensification in the City of London that makes sense in your estimation?
I think there's a lot of underutilized land mm-hmm. that is within the urban growth boundary.
Mm-hmm.
That is not far from downtown, that's on the outskirts of downtown, and it includes a lot of dilapidated buildings that are past their prime, yep. and it includes a lot of land around the railroad yards. We need to take an assessment about how much of that is actually being actively used mm-hmm. by the railroad companies, and see if there's any place we can build. Certainly, the London Free Press building, as that comes down.
I was just thinking about that as you said that.
Brings to my mind that's exactly the kind of place
there should be multiple large apartment buildings there.
Absolutely, mm-hmm. The transit's there, and people are suffering the effects of the new transit going in. Let's take advantage of it, because we're going to have a wonderful system once that comes in. And I know people are not happy about the dislocations mm-hmm. that happen. But whenever you think about new construction, you have to ask yourself, what's the long-term public interest right. benefit of the new construction?
Right.
And yeah.
And one thing that I think people kind of miss for the complaints about the construction is, oh, is this bus rapid transit going to be worth it? A lot of these spots where this construction is occurring, we're digging under roads where the roads need to be redone anyway, or there was sewer system stuff under these roads that need to be redone anyway. So like a lot of these roads were getting dug up whether we're doing transit or not. And I think that people kind of forget that from time to time.
The trick is, if you're going to dig up a road, do it once
yeah.
and don't have to come back in 2 or 3 years and dig right. it up again. And that's what has me pretty upset about Oxford, because good
yes.
parts of that area were dug up
right.
very much for sewers and water lines.
And I should point out that, and I know people are going to tweet about this when they hear this podcast, that there are a couple of spots along the Wellington route that were dug up and then have been dug up again because of transit. I'm willing to acknowledge that. But overall, there were going to be some construction headaches no matter what you did. Yeah.
Yes, that's right. I think I have my hands full at this point talking about my criticisms for what's going on in the Oxford Wonderland
yeah.
corridor without getting too involved in Wellington.
Fair enough.
I will say this in closing, though. I think the city really has enough information at its disposal to understand that between the Eastham property going back to Cherry Hill, mm-hmm. between 323 Oxford, between 530 Oxford, between 415 Oxford, which hasn't been filed yet, between 735 Wonderland, there are recurring issues that need to be dealt with. The way it works now is each one of these projects goes to a different staff planner. So you basically got these planning documents being written in separate cubicles. I'd like to see more integration. And what we need is a targeted modeling of the traffic implications of all of this development on the west side. And I think if we do that, it's going to make it a lot easier to justify these large heights that the developers are asking for.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting, and I'm looking forward to hearing the conversation come up. Sam, thanks as always for coming in and giving a couple minutes. Always good to chat with you.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate getting to talk to you again.
Yeah, it's Councillor Sam Trosso, who, of course, represents Ward 6, London City Hall, here on the Craig Needles podcast, which is powered by our good friends over at the Covent Garden Market and downtown London. No roundtable this week. I mentioned on Monday, we're doing the Monday-Tuesday podcast this week because I'm taking a little bit of time off. So I'll be back next week on the Craig Needles podcast, which you can find at classicrock981.com and londonnewstoday.ca.
The Craig Needles Podcast is a presentation of the Blackburn Media Podcast Network.